last summer I was at an event and I was going between the main hallway and I think the restroom. And I came back and it was kind of a backstage area. And I noticed this gentleman that I had seen at the event before. He's got a super noticeable physique. He's a professional bodybuilder. And so he's just this enormously muscular dude. And he was talking to himself back behind the stage and he was preparing for his speech. He was going to give a 5-minute presentation that day on stage. And he was so dialed in and so focused. And I just wanted to say hello and wish him good luck, which is kind of unlike me. I just felt something about this guy seemed different. And so I said hi. And I remember he was so nice and he was so friendly. And he broke the trance that he was in preparing for his speech to come out of it instantly. And he was fully present and fully engaged with me there. And that was the first day that I had met Dr. Chris Zeno, our guest for the show today. And after that, I just got to know Chris through several interactions. I've stayed at his house a few times out in Park City, Utah, and he's just an awesome, awesome guy. Can't say enough cool stuff about him. And so what I'm excited about on this episode today is Dr. Zeno breaks down how he overcame a life-threatening illness to establish one of the largest chiropractic practices in the history of the universe, and then also how he seemingly was on top of the world by a lot of people's standards. He had a multi-million dollar business. He had a beautiful wife. He had the kids. He had the Lamborghini. He had all these amazing things, but he was feeling like he was missing something. He was feeling unfulfilled. And he shares that story of how he overcame the illness. He shares the story of how he got out of that funk. And that's one of the other reasons I really connected with Dr. Zeno is I had already come out of the funk a little bit with my agency when I met him. I was already on my own. I was already independent. But he has a new program called I Am Hero. And I Am Hero awakens people out of that funk and out of that daze that they're in and awakens them to their true purpose and their true calling. And so we started to unpack this over the last several years. I've gotten to know Dr. Z, and it's just been amazing. So I was doing this interview with him, and I thought, this has to be the first one that I launch on this new format of the Sunday Conversations. And so without further ado, I want you to sit back and enjoy this conversation with Dr. Chris Zeno. Want to know what it really takes to build a thriving, profitable business from the ground up? Hey, I'm your host, Cody Birch, and this is the Cody Builds a Business podcast, your unfiltered front row seat to watching me build a 7-figure online business from scratch or die trying. Let's get started. All right, we now welcome to the podcast, Dr. Zeno. Dr. Zeno, welcome.
Thanks so much, Cody, and thank you for everybody who's listening. And we're going to give a lot of value today, so I'm super pumped.
Awesome. Yeah, so I've known you for a couple years, and when I first started to decide to do interviews for this show to bring a new medium for my listeners to experience marketing and business growth and business ideas, you were somebody I drew a big circle around because I knew you would we'd have a great conversation. You'd bring a ton of value, and you've got a really interesting story that I think can serve a lot of people. So let's just start there. Take me back to, you've done a lot in your life. There's a lot of directions this interview can go, this conversation can go, but just take me back to the beginning of how you got started into chiropractic and what you've kind of become known for over the last several years. Take me back to where that started.
Right. So yeah, I do have multiple, it's like I have multiple movies of my life. So let's go back to 1998. So in 1998, and when I'm going through this story, and for those of you that are listening, I'm going to take what kind of seems like a little sidestep or like a bracket step to the side, because I'm going to go over, you know, life principles or things that you could utilize in your life today. But I'm going to tell you that through my story, so you don't have to go through what I went through. So before I tell my story, understand, to be successful, you do not need a story like I'm about to tell you. A lot of people think, well, I don't have a story like that. You don't want a story like mine. I was just really freaking stubborn, and life ran me into a brick wall for me to wake up and realize things that you guys will totally be able to receive and get and apply in your life just from this interview. So 1998, I won Mr. America, so I looked a certain way and I felt a certain way. I had my degree in exercise phys from the University of Central Florida, and with that title and with that degree, I was able to be the head trainer for Xena Warrior Princess and Hercules, because they filmed that at Universal Studios, so that was really cool. I started writing when the internet was really starting to come up now for sites like bodybuilding.com, so covers of magazines, so it was doing great. Like I easily said at 21, hey, if I could just keep this gig the rest of my life, I'll be good. A few years later, I meet, you know, get married to my wife, Whitney. And then 6 months into our marriage, all of a sudden I start going to the bathroom a lot. Food's going through me. No big deal. Then I start bleeding every time I go to the bathroom. Now that's a big deal. And I do what most people do. I played Google Doctor, right? So I go on Google and I type in blood and stool. And the first thing that pops up is cancer. And now my dad died of cancer when I was 21. My grandfather I never met, he died of cancer. So I was like, wow, I'm 26 years old. Is this really happening? And I do what a lot of people do when they find something that's very stressful or something so huge in their life, I disassociated from it, meaning that I don't want to face it. So I just kind of look the other way. And a lot of times we do that in life for problems that we need to really tackle head on. So I just looked the other way. Maybe it'll get better, which it wasn't. I was just lying to myself. And I went from about 230 pounds down to 158 pounds. I wound up losing my bowels in public multiple times. That's how my wife found out. The first time I was at a TJ Maxx and the bathrooms were locked and I had this physical issue going on, going to the bathroom all the time with blood and mucus. And it became an emotional issue because you can't separate the physical from the emotional and the spiritual at all. And the bathrooms were locked. They said, go outside to Sports Authority. Those are open. And I just didn't make it, you know, in front of about 40 people. I lost my bowels in public. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because whether this is finances, your business, your relationships, or your health, all these principles apply. When there's a disease process going on in any of those areas, it's so subtle on a day-to-day basis, you really don't see it, or you know there's something off, but you don't realize how it's compounded. And I found myself there in front of a TJ Maxx, in front of 40 people, and losing your bowels, most of you could get away with that, but when blood is seeping through your jeans and people are horrified, people don't forget that. That's shocking. But I remember standing there going, this once Mr. America cover of magazines. And here, not too much longer, maybe what, you know, a couple years and a couple months later, I'm standing at a TJ Maxx in my pants with blood and mucus thinking to myself, what the hell has become of me? What happened to me? And it felt like it happened really fast, but it didn't, guys. So like when you find yourself in the going, what has happened to me? I lost my total identity. I was stripped of everything. And that's when I said, okay, I'm out. I give up. And then we went to the hospital that day and I was diagnosed with an incurable terminal disease called ulcerative colitis. And they put me on all the drugs. The drugs were so harsh and expensive that I got hepatitis from the medication. I was on organ rejection drugs, low dose chemotherapy, all these infusions. They said the drugs made me sterile. They said I would never have kids. It was $6,000 a month just for the medications that I couldn't afford. So that debt's building up. And I found myself just with a week away when nothing was working. They said, listen, our next step is we're going to have to remove your colon. So they set me up to take out my entire colon. I'd have a colostomy bag the rest of my life. It would break, it leak, get infected. They said, you might not even make it through the surgery because I'm on all these immunosuppressive medications. They said, I'm still sterile. They said, I'll still have a chance, 80% chance of getting cancer. And it just, my only hope, my only option, and my only future sucked. But what are you going to do, right? So I said, all right, I'll do whatever. And I said, well, before that, I'm going to go home and see my mom. So my mom was in Sarasota, Florida, and she lost her husband. She lost two sons already, so I'm son number three. So my mom's going through this horrible, horrific thing. And she sends out a prayer email, like all moms do. She sent out this prayer email, and everybody's praying for my surgery. And then one person sent an email that was dramatically different. So any questions from there, Cody?
No, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing some of that story. Really vulnerable spot that you found yourself in, going from the high of being on the cover of magazines, like you said, peak physical condition, to the humbling experience you had there at the store in front of those people. So yeah, tell us about the email. Which one was different?
So out of all these emails, my anatomy teacher from 10th grade, all right, he sends an email going, when Chris comes into town, I want to see Chris because I want him to see my doctor. He's a corrective care chiropractor. It'll change his life. And, you know, we've all been there when people mean well and they want to help you, but they're just, they mean well, but they're probably not going to help. And you say, oh, thank you, but I'm okay, right? Like we've all been there. And that's what that felt to me. It wasn't that I was even skeptical. It's like, I just went to the best of the world, the four top doctors for digestive disease in Baylor Medical in Dallas, Texas, and hundreds of thousands of medical debt that I don't even know I'm going to pay. Every test you can think about, if they don't know, I mean, that no one else knows. So I'm like, listen, Mr. Bauman, that was my teacher. I'm like, listen, I appreciate you. Thank you. But, I tried it all. I'm good. I tried everything. And see, in life sometimes, in your finances and your relationships and your business, your health, I said the words, thank you, but I tried it all. And then he said something that woke me up. He goes, well, you didn't try it all, because if you tried it all, you would have had your health. And Cody, he, what it does, he said, because again, this is my sidestep. When you're going through a rough time in your life, be super sensitive to the conversations, the music, the movie you go see, the book you read, because there might be a sentence and there might be a line and there might be a lyric that wakes you the hell out of your trance. And that woke me up, Cody. I was like, holy smoke, he's right. Like, if I did, I would have, I clearly didn't try everything. So what we don't realize, everybody listening, that that disease or that destruction or that rough path that we go down is so secret, so sneaky, that you could literally find yourself saying, I've tried it all in your relationship, your finances, your goals, whatever. And you're actually, you don't even realize you just became a victim and you lost all hope. So here, I clearly lost hope to say I tried it all. I clearly was this victim of my circumstances, but he woke me out of it. I'm like, oh my God, he's right. And he woke me up out of it enough to where I said, okay, I'll go see this doctor. So this guy, Dr. Raji, taught me about the nervous system. You know, your brain controls everything. Yes, very simple stuff we knew. But then he took pictures of my spine that I never saw. No one ever took pictures of my spine. And I realized I went back there and looked at my spine. You know, if your brain sends messages through your spine and your spinal cord and out nerves, any damage in your spine is going to crush or lower the energy from the brain going to those organs that they're associated with. It's like a fuse box, right? And I saw my spine, Cody, and I had my lower back was trash, but I never had pain. See, I thought if it was trash, I would have pain. So I didn't have pain, but my first symptoms were ulcerative colitis. So what he provided for me was knowledge and wisdom that I knew, but in a vehicle that I never knew I could do anything about. Like, it was a new opportunity. I saw a blind spot. So a lot of times if you're listening and you're not reaching this goal, you're having this goal and you're frustrated and you're like, and you're about to give up, you're thinking maybe this isn't the right thing for me. Listen, sometimes your goals aren't met because you've got major blind spots going on that you can't see. So this is why listening to a podcast like this, or following Cody and his podcast, or getting a coach, or getting a mentor, someone who's outside of you that could look in and point to something or a blind spot that you don't see. So my blind spot was my health. It was in my spine. I ate right. I exercised, but my spine was damaged to the nerve roots going to my intestines and some other areas. So when I looked at it, Cody, I'm like, okay. And still, I'm skeptical. I've been through everything. I've been through all the false hope. Oh, you know, everybody was going to help me. No one helped me. So I said, all right, so when am I going to get better? I just want to get better. So when's this going to work? And this doctor then said another thing that kind of woke me up. And he goes, listen, as long as there's that blind spot in your life or there's that damage in your body is not in the environment to be able to heal itself. And then he points his finger in my face. Talk about bedside manner. But he did the best thing ever. He goes, and he puts his finger in my face. He goes, but when you take care of your problem that you have that's affecting your life and your future and your family, then your body will then be in the environment to be able to heal itself. He's like, but, you know, the day and the hour, he's like, that's not up to me. He goes, that's up to you. Do what you need to do in your body. And he goes, but you will get well if you don't quit on yourself, no matter how long it takes. So what he did, Cody, for the first time, he put all the power back into my lap. And really, and it was a very empowering moment for me, because I'm like, you know what? My lack of wisdom and knowledge or blind spots got me in this place. Therefore, I had the power to get me here. So therefore, it's really up to me to get me out of here. And I wish I could tell you a week later everything was great. No. You can see, sidebar, the reason why a lot of us don't move forward is because one of the biggest fears of your life, all of our lives, is we're always afraid to make the wrong decision, right? You're faced with two or three decisions and you're always thinking, what if I make the wrong decision? What if I do this decision and this one would have been better? So because the toughest thing in life really is to make a decision. And until you see the momentum of that decision, you're always scared. So I made the decision and first I'm bleeding. First week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, still bleeding 3 months later. So I'm still seeing what I don't want to see, but I made that decision, but at 3 months, I'm off half the drugs. 5 months, I'm off all the drugs. So about 4 months, 5 months, now I know, I see the momentum. I know I made the right decision. So when you start to see the momentum of your decision, then you don't need faith anymore, because faith is like hoping, right? But when you see that it's working, then faith goes into knowing and 100% belief. And then at 7 months, all the blood stopped and my body healed itself from a terminal incurable disease called ulcerative colitis when everybody said it couldn't. And Cody, now when it talks about business, and for many of you listening, you know, 16, it's about 17 years later now, guys. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I can take care of my wife. I have two beautiful sons I was never supposed to have. I have ridiculous financial security in my life that would be further than I ever dreamed imaginable. I went back to school. I got my doctorate in chiropractic, which I never would have in my life. You see the unknown in this? What I went through was just such an unknown. It never was in the books. Never would I told you on number 10,000th I'd be at Cairo. But I went back to school because I had an experience with it, right? And then we built the largest clinic, and we opened in 2005, built the largest clinic in my profession's history, seeing 28 times the amount that a normal office sees. And we'll go over in a little bit, like some of the strategies that you could apply in your life and your business to be able to get those results as well. But what scares me, Cody, is if I didn't make that decision to take charge of my health, if I would have went for that surgery, the entire 17 years, the millions of dollars, the healthy family, the helping hundreds of thousands of people, Cody, the making the impact, knowing you, learning who you are, speaking to you guys, like, do you understand that past 17 years of my life would have been erased if I went for the surgery? And here's the scary part. I never would have known the difference. I would have been the guy dead in a wheelchair, sick, divorced, no kids. My Instagram would have said I'm a colitis survivor, right? I would have lived in my victimhood. My identity would have been based off the consequences of the cards I've been given. And here I would have never known the potential I was always created to live. So when it comes to making a decision, guys, always understand, what is the potential? Aren't you curious to see the potential you're really truly created to live? And I'm just so grateful. You won't even hear me say it's a disease anymore, Cody. I always refer to it as I had a health experience. See, that experience I went to, I never valued health more than when I was sick. So a lot of times you guys might be going, if you're listening, you're going through an experience, not a victim. You're not a victim. You're going through an experience because it's really clarifying through contrast what's really matters most to your life. So at 26, I valued health more than most 26-year-olds because I lost it. And so because I knew health is my greatest asset at that point, it gave me a new purpose through that experience to go and deliver the same information that helped me to go serve hundreds of thousands of people's lives from that experience I went through.
So much wisdom in that story that you told. I've taken a bunch of notes here for myself and for stuff I'll put in the show notes as well about not identifying with the situation that you were in, understanding that, you know, like you said, you could have put in your Instagram profile that you're a colitis survivor and just kind of living there and dwelling there. And I know for me, one of the issues that I've had and that you've kind of helped me through, Dr. Zeno, is transitioning from the previous job I had into this new identity, which has been about 2 years now. And sometimes I still kind of play that card. Like if I feel like I've been mistreated in the marketplace or feel like something comes up, and it's something that I think we all struggle with. And if you've ever done that before, if you've ever had something in your past that you don't identify with currently, whether it's an experience like this with your health or whether it's a previous job you had or a previous relationship that you had, it's important to move on from that and not let that negative experience identify you, and don't find your identity, I guess is what I'm trying to say, in that experience. It's really, really interesting, stuff. So what are some tips, I guess, for people, including myself, that they, like maybe they've had a personal relationship go bad, or a romantic relationship, or a business relationship, or they feel like they made a mistake financially. You mentioned a couple areas where we can struggle with this. How do they separate that from their identity and who they are?
Well, first of all, when you're going through that moment, it absolutely totally sucks, all right? It doesn't feel good. We understand that. But you really do have a choice how you respond to that, Cody, and everybody listening. Because, yes, when I was sick, I felt I was the – you know, people are like, wow, did your positive willpower and positive mental attitude get you through it? No, guys, I was scared as hell. I was so pissed off because I'm the one who exercised right. I ate right. I did my cardio. I never smoked or drank or did any of that stuff. And here people that are eating McDonald's every morning, or eating Sonic and eating Burger King, they're doing great. They don't have my problem, right? So you see how frustrating it was? So yeah, I was mad at the world. I shook my hand at God plenty of times saying, why'd you make me like this, right? I get it. But the thing is, as you go through it, you realize it serves as contrast, guys. So if you went through a bad relationship, don't you think that really clarified what you don't want for sure, right? Well, I don't want this. I didn't like that. But when you realize what you don't want, you kind of realize at the same time, there's two ends of the coin. It's clarifying what you do want. So when I lost, Cody, $250,000 from a bad decision, I was like, that sucked. And I realized, well, why did it suck? You know why? Because I gave my money to someone and I had no control over it. So you see, through that, it became tuition. The experience taught me, it was a life experience. See, I wish I could, and you know what worries me about this, Cody, and everybody listening? You know, words don't teach. That's the issue. So many of you are hearing this and you're hearing the words and the advice we give you will change your life so you never have to go through a horrible experience. But see, the thing is, words don't teach, experience does. So many times, because of our stubborn heads or the way our life is, or just we go through these experiences in life to provide contrast, whether it be for some of you a relationship or for some of you a job or for some of you your finances or like me, my health, that when I go to that experience, that becomes the greatest. Guys, what I went through was the greatest experience and teacher in my life. I am so, see, I'm able to look back and touch it with love. Like, and the reason why it's so important to say you touch it with love is because I don't see it as a bad thing in my life. It was the greatest experience, greatest teacher. It was the greatest gift I ever got in my life. And because when I touch it with love, it was that issue, that disease I had was never mine. It was just an experience. So that relationship, no, that wasn't bad cards. That was just an experience to provide more clarity. And I guarantee your next relationship will be even better. And that next investment you do will even be better because you're learning from that trial, from that tuition, clarity in what you do want in life.
Yeah, that's great. So let's talk about the chiropractic practice. You touched on that a little bit. It grew very quickly. It grew to be one of the biggest in the history of the profession, or maybe the biggest. So talk about how maybe coming out of that health experience, how you leveraged that, I don't know if you'd call it a new lease on life or a new drive, a new appreciation definitely for the methods that got you well. How did you leverage that to start the chiro practice? What was it like in the early days?
All right. So, and again, everything I'll tell you, this is not about chiropractic. Everything I talk about when I tell my story here, I'll distill the exact principles that you guys can apply. So the first thing I did is there's something that everybody has, you know, Cody, and you know, I even, you know, talked to you about it. We really take for granted the experiences we had and the gifts that we have. You know why we take them for granted is because they're easier to us than they are to somebody else. And a lot of people think they don't have a story. Oh no, everybody has a story. So your experiences that might seem easy to you or that you learned are very difficult for somebody else. So I had an experience. So everybody on this line that's listening, you have something that you could hold your hat to and say, listen, I went through this and I had to learn some skills going through this. And there's other people that are struggling that you could totally help. So because I went through the experience, I chose the chiro profession because I had an experience with it. So that created a very deeper level of congruency, right? So I'm not selling something to a person. No, I went through it. So when someone says they don't have the time or they don't have the money, I'm like, I spent the time. I spent the money. Yeah, I was scared as hell. Like, you know what I mean? I'm there. I'm so deep in it that you can't, I mean, you know, this is not a superficial job for me. And so I went to school. Now, school doesn't teach you anything, guys. I'm an entrepreneur. Remember school? I passed my tests. I wasn't worried about my GPA. I passed my test to get a piece of paper. The piece of paper allows me to become an entrepreneur. So knowing that school didn't teach any business, I think the best thing to do is if you're listening right now and you're like, I really would love to do this, but I don't know how, but I'm definitely passionate about it or prideful about it, then I apprenticed. You know, when I was in school, my wife and I went and slept on the floors and worked for doctors for free, and we paid our way to get there just to observe the offices. So I really went around to the best, most profitable, and biggest offices in the country that practice very similar the way I would love to practice. And like Bruce Lee says, you know, absorb what is useful, discard what is not, and then make it uniquely your own. So I learned from apprenticing how to really run a successful practice and didn't even focus on what school taught me. So that's why in 2005, I was able to open up and really get to the races pretty quick. But then I had to figure out, Cody, okay, so how do I get my message out? You know, we all have different vehicles of getting your message out. You know, some people use, you know, the yellow pages or newspaper, or now we have social media. So I was self-aware. Now we got to become self-aware. I was very self-aware that out of all the different things I tried, which could be very frustrating, my vehicle of influence was speaking and video. And I realized that when I could find out what my really number one vehicle of influence was, I doubled down on that one thing. So I was in practice, Cody, for maybe 3 years, 4 years. And someone I saw, I looked outside my profession. A lot of times, like, we get advice inside our profession, but to really become innovative, you look outside your profession. So I saw people doing dinners, or I was at this restaurant and someone's like, hey, someone's doing a dinner. Wow, what are they doing? He's just, oh, that sounds good, because I knew I had a really good story. I knew I really believed in what I went through because I had that experience. So I'm like, wow, you know, a Yellow Page ad doesn't beat my story. And so I said, I'm going to start doing these dinners. So I just started getting in front of groups of people and just telling the story and, you know, about health and how people think. It's very similar to what we know. Like, most people think health's how you look, how you feel. And I'm a perfect example. That's not what it was. And about what's wrong with the system today and where I was headed and where that was failing. And so I spoke to him at these dinners, Cody, and then people would pay to come in. And, you know, they built good rapport. And when I did that, when I did talk to people, I knew they came in because he said, that's the guy that I want to lead my family and myself to health. So guys, you know, just apply this to your profession. Like, when you present yourself, whatever vehicle it is, mine was speaking, yours could be podcasting, yours could be audio, it could be print, it could be a number one of vehicles on social media. But the end result, after that person watching, reading, listening, you want them to say, this is the person that I want to continue a journey with or help me in this area. So it built trust. People came in pre-qualified. They knew what to expect. When I started doing those dinners, I grew 2,000 visits a week in 19 months. And here's the thing that I didn't realize till a couple years ago. I always protected my heart and my mind, meaning that I didn't have TV on purpose. You know, I didn't read the newspaper on purpose. I really, you know, hung around either nobody or just the people. Either I would either hung around nobody or the people that at least were uplifters in my life. And looking back, when Woody and I were looking over the past years, I realized that that whole growth happened, and I made $3.5 million all cash. I didn't take insurance either. And that happened from the end of 2007 into 2009. So I realized that this whole stock market crash, all that stuff happened. People got freaky. But because I didn't watch the news or listen to the radio or read the newspaper, I didn't even know there was anything going on. So I actually had my most profitable growing time during what most people in the economy would say was the worst time.
So dinners was the main way that you grew that. And I think that's important too, is a lot of people, I know, like when I get into spreading my message or finding my vehicle of influence, as you put it, I tried a few things. I tried Snapchat for about a day and I was like, this just isn't me. And I tried blogging for a little bit. It just didn't come easy. I tried YouTube videos and started a YouTube channel and I just wasn't able to consistently put together good content. And then something happened with me on the podcast side that allowed me to say no to those other vehicles or those other mediums and say, I'm going to get my message out this way. And it's something that's really just become a part of my week now. I spend several hours each week recording audio and preparing for the podcast and stuff like that. So it sounds like that's what you've seen as well, where it wasn't, you know, the 90 different things you did. It was doubling down on this one thing, really getting good at it, getting really, really good at it and becoming the best at it and then becoming known for it. And then the side part to that, and even on my podcast now, some of my sales calls or my enrollment calls and some of the programs that I offer, some people say, well, it's like you said on episode 72, Cody, when we should be doing blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, that changes things. It really builds trust quickly with people that I want to serve when it comes to that decision, if they're going to work with me or not, if they've heard some of the episodes or consumed some of the content. And you mentioned that too, that the people that came to your dinners were pre-qualified. They trusted you already. They wanted to work with you. You knew them, that you'd be able to give them a great result and that they had the money to be able to afford the great results you were going to provide to them. So that's really interesting to watch that growth.
No, I think that was huge. You nailed it. So everybody's listening. Yes, just like Cody said, like, we try different things. And we all know, like, the one thing you can't get out of is working. It's going to take, you're going to wind up working your ass off. But here's the thing. When you find something you truly enjoy and love doing, the act of doing it is the reward. So therefore, you outwork everybody. And don't even realize it. Like, I don't feel it as work. Because, like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to say that again. The act of doing that thing. So I could tell everybody who's listening right now, I know Cody. Cody doing this podcast or this interview right now is more of a reward to him. It's like, you know, it's like the act of doing it, he's already getting rewarded. So he already got his. You follow what I'm saying? Like, so when you find that thing or that vehicle, that when you're doing it, you're in the flow state. You're in the zone. You're like, I always say, like, Cody, how do I know? And how do you know you're there? You forget to eat. That's a big deal with me, right? You forget, you don't need sleep. Or let's say I was really exhausted. Then I started doing that thing and I went from being tired, like I needed a night's sleep to like, boom, 10 cups of coffee. So there's things in your life that you do. It's like time flies by, you know, you have more energy at the end of it than when you started. And so these are all signs that's the vehicle to do it. And I could like writing, like you're right, like blogging and writing, that seems like such hard work to me. But like getting up and doing 4 hours straight of a bunch of videos, like I'm pumped. I'm sweating. You know, it's the best thing ever. So everybody, you know, you try the different things. You got to try it, and then you're going to know the feeling. Like someone said, well, Cody tried Snapchat for a day. He didn't give it enough time. Listen, when you're like, this sucks, like I got to tell everybody, there's never a good ending. There's never a good ending to a miserable race. You know, meaning like, you know, so I'm kind of counterintuitive to like, oh, struggle and bust through it. No, like if you're running a miserable race, it's not going to end well. Like we know that. So if Cody was like every day hating Snapchat, it's just not going to turn around, guys. Don't listen to that. Like, but like when he loves podcasts, here he's over 100 podcasts, and it's just like a blink of an eye. I emailed him the other day. I'm like, holy smoke, dude, you're at 100. Like how that happened? Like it was just, but you know what? See, 100 means a bunch of things. He's consistent. He's on it. He clearly has to enjoy it, right? So when you enjoy that thing, you're going to put the work in. You're going to put the consistency in. You're going to put the attention to details in because it's something congruent that for whatever reason, it just kind of, it grooves with you, you know? So you guys got to do, you got to try it all. Try writing. Even though if you know you're not a good writer, just do it anyway. You never know. You might love it on long form, you know, social media. But when I found my vehicle, which was speaking, and because I have a brick and mortar, so for those of you that are listening, I have a brick and mortar practice. So that's why that dinner could work in my area, right? I can't help someone in California if I live in Houston. So for me, the brick and mortar, so if you're listening, you're a personal trainer, you're a whatever, anything that's brick and mortar, you're a lawyer, whatever, a lot of people don't know what you do. No one knows what you do. No, like, well, people have perceptions of what you do, but no one really knows what you do like you do. And people need to hear what you really do because you know, if you're listening, whatever job you're in, if people knew exactly what you do, they would be a customer, right? So I realized that like if people knew what I really did, they would be under my care because they clearly don't. So that was my attitude going in. So that's the way I approach my videos. That's the way I approach you know, my speaking, that's the way Cody approaches his podcasting. It's like when you really see, wow, I didn't know that. Then you really get that person excited to be able to work with you.
Awesome. Yeah. I want to transition to something you've been kind of poking at. It keeps reminding me that there's a lot more depth actually to our relationship and to what you're known for and what you're all about. And when I first saw you, I remember I was in a hallway at an event that we were both at and you were preparing to go on stage. You had a speaking gig at that event. You were kind of pumping yourself up. And you have to put it mildly, you have a remarkable physique. So I came up, I think I said something about it and wished you good luck on your speech, or we just had some kind of small talk for a minute. And you were very kind, very gracious, and I felt like an instant connection. And then the second thing, we started to have more real conversations. I think I saw you again at a workshop or a lunch or something like that. And I realized that you were tapping into something that was bigger than the chiropractic practice, which is also remarkable and amazing and something to be very proud of. But there was something deeper there that you had, which you call the I Am Hero Project. And as we had some of those initial conversations, you were speaking to me. I so could relate to what that message was all about. And so I wanted to ask you about that. If you could share part one, if you could share some of the transition of when you had that awakening, that there was something else, another message that you had and you wanted to get to the world, and then just kind of talk about that, the deployment of that and what that looks like.
So, and that tells us. So, you know, I built this great practice. I'm like 36 years old. I got everything. I got, you know, the healthy family, the healthy kids, you know, paid for a house, paid for cars, Lamborghini in the garage, you know, great relationship. I mean, my practice fulfilled all the human needs, love, contribution, growth, you name it. So I really checked off all the boxes. And I didn't realize I was kind of a check off the box guy my whole life, right? If I check off these boxes, then I win, right? That kind of feeling. But even though I checked off the boxes, I realized that was the wrong way of living life, because once you check off boxes, you're never done. You never complete it all. It's like climbing a mountain, right? You climb one mountain, then you have a different perception. See, there was five other ones that were bigger. So even though I checked off the boxes, I started feeling a low-level depression, frustrated, very heavy, didn't want to be at work, got disengaged, and started becoming numb with my patients and my family. And there was just this thing inside that I didn't know what it was, and I couldn't explain it. And I'm very, you know, I'm very in touch with my feelings, but this is like, am I ungrateful? I'm like, no, I'm grateful. There's just, like, I was questioning everything. I questioned my why. I was doing all this. And then it got to the day where, like, my son, Justice, my oldest son, he's going to be 12. It took a kid to see something. Like, I couldn't hide it anymore. Like, I put on a good act and gave that fake smile, but I was really getting tormented on the inside. And one day, Justice told his mom, hey, you know, what happened to Daddy? Like, my son was able to see, that's not the hero. That's not the man that raised me. That's not the you know, the champion I know. He's off. There's something dying. And I knew it. And so I took a couple days to myself and really questioned my why. When I was questioning my why, I was like, you know what? I realized I was speaking all the success 101 answers. Like, if I would ask many people, what do you want to do? Oh, you know, God first, family second. It's like, listen, if I look at your checkbook, I could tell you what's really important in your life. So I had to become real self-aware and real honest. Why do I do what I do? And yes, it was to help people and so they get better lives. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, if I was honest, I was like, you know what? I just want to be admired for contributing to the world in a way it's never, ever seen before. No, I want to be admired because I lived in such false humility my life. I never took credit or appreciation from my peers and my patients. So it's like, you know what? I want to just be admired and known for doing something the world's never seen before. And it felt good. My heart like opened up for something. And I looked up those words and I was looking at what those words meant because I'm trying to see what's coming out of me. And I saw the definition of hero. And the definition of hero is one who is admired or idolized for courage, contribution, outrageous achievement, and nobility. I looked at it, I was like, holy smoke, that's like the most amazing purpose statement. And I realized, you know, like, and for most of us, like, we wore superhero pajamas when we were younger. You know, I worked out to look like a superhero. You know, I won Mr. America, Mr. Universe to have a superhero title. I beat a life-threatening terminal disease to later on become a doctor. Why? Because I wanted to go save lives. And I realized, Cody, that so I had the achievement, you know, and I had the contribution. But the one thing I was missing was the courage. And the courage for me was to allow myself, the key word is to allow myself to become the person I was truly created to be. And I realized I was living a secret identity, meaning that I found my identity in my job and what I did. That was my identity, that who I was destined and created to be. So Dr. Zaina was the identity, or the bodybuilder was the identity. So for me to make a bigger impact in the world, even outside the wellness and health field, it meant me stepping out of my lane. So if I stepped out of my lane, it meant I lost my identity. So I would just shrink and get scared and mourn back. And when you realize you're living half your life, therefore half your potential, the other half of your potential and half of your life, and many of you can relate to this, the other half of your potential and the other half of your life that you should be and could be living will torment you forever. And I realized the whole time I wasn't depressed, I wasn't numb, I wasn't disengaged, I wasn't angry, I wasn't ungrateful. I realized at that moment, I was actually grieving my potential the entire time. And I guarantee for those of you listening, when I said the word grieving your potential, you know exactly, you hit it. I hit you right in the chest, didn't it? Like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And in fact, I actually answered the lifelong silent, or maybe a few year long silent conversation you're having with yourself that you couldn't explain. And you're like, oh my God, I'm grieving my, he's right. So then I chose to go through the process myself, which was tough. And you know, I walked away from a $2.5 million practice and I pursued the I Am Hero Project. And through speaking and through video, you know, I got this message out to the world through my 4-step methodology called Hero Rising, which we can touch a little bit if we have time. But just saying, so what I went through, what I'm able to help people is myself and the thousands I've helped, they found the courage once again by pursuing careers according to their purpose. You know, the ones I said that you feel so good about, you forget to eat, like that's, they're actually getting paid to do that, what they love to do. And because of that, they found the courage to heal and restore their families. Because you can't separate job and family, guys. There's no switching hats. We're all the same thing. And then this courage, just think, when you have this courage, it gives you a new, like Cody could experience, like a new excitement. You get joy, you get excitement again. You got fire again by allowing yourself to become the hero you always created to be. And my purpose kind of evolved to, you know, my purpose statement now is, I resurrect heroes out of the complacency of that secret identity by allowing them to live heroic lives again by expressing and experiencing true love in every area of their life right now. And to break that down, true love, and love is a word that we probably have a lot of baggage to, let's exchange love for unconditional appreciation. So I help people, where you're at right now, experience unconditional appreciation now in every area of their life, because I lived that conditional life. I thought once I got the Lambo, once I got the money, once this happened, no, there's no such thing as a conditional life. Because once you reach your goals, there's going to be 10x the amount of goals. So you'll never get to your goals, guys. There'll always be more and more goals. So the fulfillment never happens checking off the boxes. But if you could have unconditional appreciation in the moment, right now, in every area of your life, you won. You won. And that's the key to a heroic, fulfilling life.
That's great. I haven't heard you share some of that message before, of the unconditional appreciation for where you're at. And you touched on, you climb the mountain, you see five other mountains. And I've seen that in myself, both before I started the business, there were things I was doing to try to prove myself. Like I've done some competitive fitness stuff as well, not at the level that you've done, but still have played with that. I did some things that were out of my comfort zone, did that for a few years. Then I started a company out of my comfort zone. Last year, I thought, what can I do now? Wrote a book, started a podcast, like in the last 6 to 9 months or whatever, started doing those things. And then next year, I've got some really interesting challenges lined up for me as well, because I think we're all that way. And it's not necessarily very fulfilling. It's kind of tough to admit to say, yeah, I've climbed the mountain of whatever, starting my own business. And now I see there's something else that I want to go for. And then when I move out of the house we've been in for a long time, when I, you know, whatever that is that we're chasing, it's a futile chase, and you've been there before, and you're giving us all this wisdom now to say, wait a minute, that never really happens. And so it's a fleeting journey to be chasing all those things, because it won't make you really feel good when you get it. And so it's about appreciating what you have in the moment. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And I think all those things are really awesome, but you realize all those things are really just cool rewards along the way. But when you have the understanding, that thing is not going to fulfill me, because you're going to have new desires. That's what happens. You check off a box, and then automatically when that box gets checked off, a whole new set of desires opens up, and then it creates even more boxes. And it's like, you're a driver, you're expanding. And here's the thing. If you don't expand and stay the same, then you're going to feel depressed, right? So it's like you hit a goal, or you hit a certain level in life, there's all new boxes that open up, or new desires, and you're in a catch-22, because if you say, well, I'll just stay comfortable, you'll get tormented. Or you could just move forward in this journey of going after those other desires. And those desires could be, like you said, goals, they could be relationships, that could be a financial thing, that could be creating a different life. Or like Jim Rohn says, I loved it. He goes, as human beings, we're the only species that could wake up the next day, tear up the script, and start brand new over again. Like, for many of you listening, you might be like, I want to tear up the script and now create a whole new life. And that's what we have the ability to do. But enjoying that, not saying when I create this life, when I hit all these things, then I'll be happy. It's like I get to experience unconditionally. That means you don't judge it. No right, no wrong. That's a big thing, guys. From where we were raised, there's a lot of right and wrong. There's not a lot of good and evil. There's a lot of judgment, comparison, envy. None of that. Like, get in this clean room. I tell people, you're in this clean room. There's no right, wrong, good, evil, judgment, guilt, or shame. Okay, now let's talk. And so when you take away all that perceived values, of like other people put so many values in your life, media, teachers, preachers, doctors, all these other things. We have all these imposed values. We never took the time to say, well, what do I want to do with my life? And that it's okay to change my mind. Like, if Cody wants to start a TV show or says, listen, I'm good, it could podcast 1,000. It could be like, I'm done. Just like Gary Vee, right? He did 1,000 wine episodes and said, I'm done. Right? So it's like, you could change your mind at any point, but as long as it's your decision and you're happy about that and you enjoy the journey of it and you have appreciation in the moment in every area of your life, that will now put you in the environment to really create some amazing things. So it's like, if I'm frustrated or driven by fear to achieve something, it's a lot harder than loving the process and knowing that if it took another 6 months or 6 years to achieve it, I'm loving it on a daily basis. So, hey, you know, I'll be patient. So that's another thing I want to talk about, is impatience. I struggle with being patient and impatient. But Cody, what I realized is when we are impatient, we actually have lost faith in ourself. And I'll tell you why, because when you're impatient, that means that you want it now because you're afraid it may not happen. So when you're impatient, you're actually sending out that vibration that it's not happening. It might not happen. And I thought about, like, patience is like your birthday. So I just had my birthday. I turned 42. And I know, like, on my birthday, I'm going to go out to eat and I'm going to get a present and a card. Like, I don't have to call my wife and remind her, or my mom and remind her. It's like, I just know on my birthday, it's going to happen. But if it's August, you know, it's, and it's not my birthday, I can't expect to have that gift now because it's not time yet. Like when my birthday comes, those things will be there. Or like Christmas comes, those presents will be there. Like I don't open up a gift in July for Christmas. It's just Christmas, I get the gift. And so I'm not worried about it, right? I'm not impatient about it because I know, oh, that's when it happens. So I realize that impatience is the same way. For me to be worried about something not happening, that's what impatience is. So realizing that when I do feel impatient, it's not a character flaw. It's an insecurity. It's like, so Chris, why do I feel that I won't hit, what am I scared about that I feel that I won't hit that goal because I want it now so bad? Because I kind of lost my faith that what I'm doing will get me to that point. So it's really a lot of self-awareness and knowing that these little things, it's almost like a conscious, deliberate. You got to be deliberately conscious on a lot of the ways we're thinking and knowing that if I'm feeling scared, anxious, guilty, or impatient, I'm not on the right road or I got to change my perception.
Let's talk about balance a little bit. You and I have had some discussions around balance. It's something that I struggle with as an entrepreneur, growing a business, focusing on that, loving the growth that I'm seeing, loving doing podcasts. Sometimes I have to travel for work and sometimes that makes me feel guilty because I can't FaceTime my kids as often as I want or be as involved as I want to try to be with them. And so it's something that I've asked other people about it, I see that it's something that a lot of entrepreneurs or business owners or maybe parents or just people in general, they deal with that, saying, how do I devote an amount of time that I'm proud of to things that are important to me, my spouse, my kids, you know, my business, my fitness, my finances, whatever those areas are of their life. What have you learned about balance?
Yeah. So balance is a bunch of crap. It's a mediocre institutionalized status quo word. And when I say, well, you got to be balanced, well, that's all relevant. Like balance to someone is different to somebody else. So what happens is, it's like, I remember when we were raising the kids, our kids go to bed at like 10:30. You know, you saw my kids, they go to bed late. And we were always comparing ourselves to our neighbors if their kids went to bed at 7 o'clock. So we almost felt like, what's wrong with us as parents? I'm like, well, wait a second. It's like, you know, our kids go to bed when they go to bed. It's like, so balance keeps that comparison. Oh, I need to do this, or I need to switch this hat. And now I'm the dad at home and I'm this at home. But I realize that, listen, number one, in order to be successful in anything, there's got to be an obsessive desire. So balance is not even in the equation when there's obsession. So this could be in your fitness. This could be in your health. This could be in your relationships. This could be in your job. And it's something where I realize that those situations don't make you balanced. Or like my job didn't make me a successful person. When you realize, get rid of balance and say, what do I have to do to become a successful person or the hero, as I like to call it, your true authentic self, then you bring that to every situation. So I realize, like, when I go to the office, I'm not just Dr. Zeno. I'm still a husband. I'm still a dad. I'm still a buddy. I'm still a friend. You follow what I'm saying? So I don't switch hats. Like, I bring all of me to the office. I bring all of me to the relationship. I bring all of me, the successful person, to the gym to train. So how you do one thing is how you do everything. So I realized, well, wait a second. These things, these categories don't determine if I'm a good, successful person or not, or a balanced person. I have to be the hero, and I bring the best of me to all those categories. So when you bring the best of you to all those categories, everybody's getting what you need. And we got to know that at every given day, something's going to need more attention than something else. And that leads me into something I really want to talk about. It's my bit. You know, I have little bits. It's called Chop Suey. I love it. And Chop Suey is my bit. There's a group called System of the Downs, and they they have a song called Chop Suey. And Chop Suey, and I'll full circle to that. My office is next to a Starbucks, and this has nothing to do with Starbucks, but you'll see my point. And this again applies to your life and your businesses. I see at 7 or 7:30 in the morning a line out into the street, guys. And I'm sitting there going, holy smoke, these same people will tell someone else they don't have the time or the money. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. But yet, most of these people, they have to go to work. They woke up early. They gave up sleep. They woke up super early. Then they could have made the same Starbucks coffee at home. You guys know this. You could actually buy the exact coffee and make it at home, and your coffee maker has a program that will actually cook it for you without even thinking about it. But no, they didn't. They actually, instead of spending 20 cents, they spent $6 to $8 to sit in a line. Now, so they woke up early, they sit in a line for at least 25 minutes. So that's even more time. They spend a lot more money, the money that they say they don't have, and they get the Starbucks coffee, and they do it daily. And they probably spend thousands of dollars a year. And I'm trying to think of the psychology, because I want to think how people think. You know? And I realized, so I went through this whole complex thing of psychology of what makes a person do that. Then I realized it became super simple. The reason why they woke up early, they're paying more money, and they're sitting in that line, there's only one reason. It's because they wanted to. That's it. And so that saw in Chop Suey, you know, the whole thing is like, you wanted to. So I realized the answer to the reason why we do things is because we want to. So listen, guys, if your relationship sucks, you know why? It's going to hurt because you don't want it to be great. Or you wanted it to be mediocre. Because, right, I mean, it's not hard to buy a card for your wife. It's not hard to buy flowers for your wife. It's definitely not hard to go on a date night with your wife. But here's the thing. You just didn't want to do it. Because maybe, and listen, I'm not saying this, again, there's no right, wrong, good, evil, judgment, guilt, or shame. Because the reason why you don't want it is because, you know what, you're really more excited about something else in your life. Maybe you're a quote-unquote, you're not a workaholic. You just love what work gives you. You know, maybe you're a dad and you spend all the time with your kids, and maybe the work is suffering a little bit. It all comes down to what you want. Like those of you, if your body, look in the mirror. Your body looks exactly the way it looks because that's exactly what you want it to look. That's it. So if you wanted to lose weight and you really got to the point you wanted to, you do it. Or you went to the gym. So when you realize, and this is so self-awareness and taking personal responsibility, be like, any area of your life that isn't really what others think it should be, it's because you didn't want it to be. And any area of your life that's doing great, like Cody on the podcast, 100 episodes, oh, because he wanted it to be. That's it. So when you realize everything comes down to I wanted to or I didn't want to, but again, I'm not saying it to, this is not to be convicting at all, but I'm saying it's empowering because for most of you, you believe your story. You believe your success 101 answers, meaning we're so used to saying the BS answer that sounds good that we're actually believing our BS answer. But when you could be self-aware and say, you know what? I just really don't want to spend all this time with my kids, you know, and watching them watch cartoons. Like, it's not exciting to me, and I really kind of don't like it. I kind of hate it, but I would rather be doing this. And when you could be brutally honest with yourself, it's very freeing because then you're self-aware. And I believe when you hit self-awareness and then you could say, okay, well, this is what I want and what I don't want. So if I truly want a great relationship, then I'll do what it takes. But when you can really be self-aware and say the reason why things are the way they want to be is because I wanted them to be or I didn't want them to be, then that is the first step to making everything change in your life. Because when you say, listen, yeah, you know, I do desire to have a better relationship, so I'm going to start doing these things that I just didn't want to do, right? If you really want a good relationship, then you'll start doing it if you really want to. But if you don't, it's all because you really didn't want to. And I'm not saying it's okay, but you need to be okay with it, and you need to not have to justify yourself to other people. But so the whole purpose of this Chop Suey bit was, when it comes to balance, you're going to put your time, effort, desire, pride, and ego into everything that you want. And the things that aren't where they need to be, because deep down, because see, also balance also means this, guys. Ooh, this is good. I love doing these interviews. Balance means that there's a limitation to your spirit. Meaning that, like, balance means, well, you only can put so many eggs here and here and here, then you'll hit a limit. No. We are spiritual beings. That means we have unlimited potential. So we could be great in all areas. So there's no balance. Like, you could be great and have it all. So because that's the truth, you can have it all and be great in all those areas. So the only so that clearly then shows you that the reason why an area of your life isn't where it needs to be is because you just don't want it to. And you have to be honest with yourself and be okay with it. Meaning that, like, if my relationship isn't really as good as my hero program or as good as my office, everything that comes with me choosing not to have the best relationship, all those factors that come with it, that might not be so good, you need to be okay with. Yeah. All right, man. Sorry about that rant, but that was good stuff.
No, that's super powerful. And to everybody listening, you can see why I was pumped to have Dr. Zano on the call today. Every time I talk to him, we were at an event in Park City in September. Dr. Z had to leave a little bit early, and the other guys at the table were like, holy smokes, like, who is that guy? I was like, he's a friend of mine. His name's Dr. Zano, and he's one of the most inspiring, motivational people that I know. He always get me pumped up and make me want to run through a brick wall. So I love what you said about self-awareness, about taking personal responsibility. I'm huge on that. My kids know I'm huge on that. I knew what your answer would be to balance. I know we've had that conversation before. I had another podcast episode called The Fallacy of Balance. I wrote a blog post about it because it's just not something that I've found to be a useful pursuit, and love your take on that. So I have really one or two more questions, a lightning round. This one's probably not a short answer, but take as long as you need.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason I resonated so deeply with you when we first started to meet is because I love how you phrase it. You talk about grieving your potential. So when I met you, I had already moved on. I had started my own agency, but I had worked at a company for 10 years and I was just kind of going through the motions. I wasn't happy. I was numb, like you talked about. I would watch 2 hours of Netflix a night. I'd play Xbox with my little brother and just kind of sleep in late and didn't really have the fitness routine I wanted, really wasn't happy. And not to overstate it, but I was definitely not feeling, it hit me today. I was the same age. I was 36 years old when that hit me. That was 2 years ago. So there's something about the age 36. Another friend of mine, Ree Perez, I think you know Ree, restarted his agency when he was 36 or 37 as well. So something about that time, we start to realize for me, I was like, wait a minute, I'm this old. I don't have the job I want. I don't have the life I want. And so then I set things in motion to create that. I think there's a lot of people that are going through that wherever they're at in life, they might still have a 9-to-5 job, which is totally okay if you love it. But if you're not happy there, I would encourage you to look for a way to add more fulfillment to your life. Maybe people are starting something or they're doing something kind of on the side, but they don't have the courage they need to make that their full-time hustle or their full-time passion. What would you tell those people that maybe are grieving their potential, that it did punch them in the chest when you said it and go, he's right. I'm bigger than this. There's something bigger about what I'm meant to do than what I'm currently doing in my day-to-day. I primarily mean business. It could also be relationships and stuff too, but let's just talk business for a minute. What do you say to those people?
Well, when it came to the business aspect of it, like, you just don't quit your job, right? We know that. And like I mentioned before, it's not about like you work that 9-to-5 and you feel exhausted. But what I started doing is like, I started getting those downloads of these concepts we talked about, like my chop suey bit and the balance bit and all that stuff. So I knew my vehicle was, video. So I did a Facebook Live, right, for 15 minutes. And I just talked about some stuff that was on my mind. And I, like Cody, I was exhausted. But after those 15 minutes, it's like, I felt like I only way I could describe it is I felt like it was underwater. And I came up for oxygen for 15 minutes. And I realized, and then the next day I did it. And the next day I did it. And the next day I did it. And I did a Facebook Live. I used social media because I was getting my message out and I was getting feedback from my friends, right? Like, I mean, those people love you who are friends with you. And I did that 186 days in a row because it became a drug to me. It was the only time of my day that I felt alive again. And in those 186 days, and I kept on getting new content then, because when you're alive again, you get creative again, right? You start to imagine like a kid again. Like when you're in a funk, I call it basement thoughts. When you're in a funk, all you think is basement thoughts, scarcity, one step in front of the other. But when you go into what I call penthouse thoughts, when you're doing the thing you love, you tap into like creativeness, imagination. So I started getting more and more material in 186 days. I built the whole curriculum of what my I Am Hero project is. But what I'm saying is like, so if you could just find 15 minutes of doing something, you love, like journal, write. If you're a writer, write for 15 minutes. And at the end of it, you're like, it almost became like a drug to me, Cody. So it's like, so this is a way where you don't have to quit your job. You actually just dip your foot into the river of what you really want to do. And you'll know very quickly, wow, I love this. And I got to the point where I loved it so much that I was willing to take the financial hit, so to speak, and pursue something that was much more fulfilling than happiness. Because here's the thing, Cody, and the reason why I think it's 36 years of age or around the 30s, when we first get a career, we graduate school, we're just looking for security financially, right? So boom. So we get a job. That's why we're always excited for a job. Isn't it amazing that you were excited for the job you have if you're listening and now you don't like your job? But it's like, well, remember when you were excited for it? So something shifted because the money comes in. So the security hits that thermostat, right? So we got this financial security. So now that financial security is taken care of, now your spirit or your body, you start to search for happiness and fulfillment. And sometimes the job that got you security isn't going to be the same one that gives you happiness and fulfillment. So that's where that switch came, Cody. It's like you were numb because you were evolving. You wanted, and same with me, I wanted to evolve and expand it to something bigger that had more of an impact. And that's why the certain podcasts I was listening to were really around impact, right? So look at the things that you're gravitating towards, and that's a reflection of really what's meaningful to you. So I would definitely say find one thing, whatever it is, even if it's 15 minutes a day, and start playing with it. Have fun like a kid. And then if it's something that you're like, oh my God, I love this. I love whatever that thing is, guys, then you know this is something I should start going, maybe both feet in.
And then last question I had is around, how do you stay pumped up and motivated and so passionate about what you're doing? Is it a morning routine? Is there any authors or podcasts or movies or things that you do to keep you in the zone? Every time I see you, you're just like turned up to 11. How do you do that every day?
Yeah, morning routine. I have a structured routine, you know. So in the morning, you know, this morning, Cody, I'll tell you what I did this morning. This morning I did cardio, and even though I don't need to, but when I do cardio on the treadmill, do you know that moving your spinal joints and your body is an essential nutrient to your brain? It's like almost like a windmill and a generator. Your brain turns on, guys, when your body is moving. So in the morning I do cardio, I walk on the treadmill, I listen to a podcast, so I'm getting personal development. And it's at the same time, so I'm pumped after that half hour. I come home, I do some other detoxification protocols, like for my liver and stuff like that, and sauna, could be all those things. And I read. So this morning, I'm reading Think and Grow Rich, guys. Like, I read that book once a year, so I'm doing that. And let me tell you, every time I read something, even though it's probably the fifth time I read it, it's like reading a different book. You ever notice that? And the reason why that happens, Cody, is because it shows you that you're in a different time of your life. So when you read it, it's living and active. It's actually speaking to you in a way that you didn't see the last time. So it's like Napoleon Hill is my mastermind guy. He's my mentor, right? So even though he's dead, I'm learning from his wisdom. So that's why I think reading is huge, not audiobooks. I think like when I have to read, I'm holding it and all my attention is focused on reading it. Like it's not an audio in the background. I got to actually be present. And then I cook my meals. I make sure the food I put in my body keeps me sharp. And, I definitely have those things. That's my morning routine. You know, I meditate 24 minutes. I listen to Dr. Joe Dispenza. I started getting into his stuff because he demystifies meditation really well, where he shows the science behind it. So I started doing that. It's mainly like guided envisioning, you know, the whole envision process of the life you want, because it just, when you envision it, it gets you excited because you're envisioning, you know, the life you desire. And that's a nice morning routine that gets me where it needs to be. Now, it took me 6 to 8 years to get to that routine. So I tell everybody, a great morning routine is instead of jumping out of bed to the alarm clock and having life run your day and the crises of life run your day, set your alarm clock for 5 minutes early. 5 minutes, guys. And it goes off. Wake up. It's 5 minutes early. Sit at the edge of your bed. That's all. And for 5 minutes, just kind of imagine how the day is going to go. Oh, I'm going to see so-and-so. I'm going to talk to Cody today. We're going to have a great interview. So I'm actually pre-paving how I want my day to go. And I started doing that. It was the first thing I ever did like 7 years ago. And I started noticing within the first month, guys, that some things I actually imagined in that 5 minutes actually was happening, like manifesting in that day. Then I realized, wow, there's something freaky fourth dimensional about this. So I never went back. Like I realized the power of a morning routine and envisioning it, because I just think it just put me in a better state versus waking up, running, rushing to work, missing breakfast, going, oh, I hope someone signs up today, like, and thinking all scared. I actually took the time to pre-pave the day the way I wanted it to go. And then when you started seeing those things actually happen here and there, you're like, holy smoke, there's something magical about this. So I never went back.
That's awesome. Well, Dr. Z, I think there's about 1,000 more things we could chat about. Yeah. I'll have to have you back on definitely. And thank you so much for being on today. Where can people go to find out more about you, follow along on this inspirational journey that you're taking us all through?
Well, great. Well, a couple of things. You know, Cody and I, we actually talked about this. We came, and it actually was Cody. We were thinking, you know, someone we know is like, listen, you clearly got a secret sauce, you know, because I was able to achieve the top in different areas, like unrelated. So whether it be a business, I hit the top, or in physical fitness, like, so there was a secret sauce. People are like, so what's the sauce? I'm like, I don't have one. They're like, yes, you do. So we actually sat down and we distilled down 5 very important characteristics and principles that you could apply to your life today, immediately. It's called the Hero Secret Sauce. So that's my gift to you. If you just go to iamhero.com/secrets, you'll get a couple cool videos, PDFs on the Hero Secret Sauce. They're really a lot of fun. And so check that out. That's my gift to you. And then if you want to keep the conversation going, every single day on social media, Instagram, let's stick to Instagram, at Dr. Zaino, D-R-Z-A-I-N-O. I put content out every day. I'm going to start doing more lives every day on that and Facebook. And I know your time is your greatest commodity, so I really appreciate your time and your attention. And so I just assure you that everything I post is like the stuff we talked about today. Like, it's just going to make you better. Like, it's not going to be something that, because it's either wasting your life or it's actually adding to it. So everything I put out will add to your life. We will grow together. And I answer all of my messages. I answer all my DMs. I answer all the comments. It's always me that answers. So you could always keep this conversation going as long as you want.
Awesome. Yeah, I've seen all that firsthand. I'm a super fan of you, Dr. Zaino, and what you're doing and how you're impacting the world. Super grateful for you being on the show today. And I'll put all those links in the show notes as well so people can follow along. So thank you for being on today.
Thank you so much. And everybody who's listening, if you enjoyed the show, make it a 5-star because that means a lot. Just hitting that 5th star means a lot to Cody. So we appreciate him. And if you want me back, let him know and we'll be back on. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Dr. Z. As you can tell, he just bleeds excellence. Every time I hear him talk and speak, he is so encouraging to me, so inspiring, and I consider him a real friend, a real inspiration. Anytime he puts anything out, anytime I can have a conversation with him, I know that I'm in the presence of somebody who's going to encourage me to work harder and to be better. And Dr. Zaino, if you're listening, I just really appreciate you as a person, as a man, as a human, everything that you've done to support me and my business as it's grown, and the work that we've done together and the projects that we've done together and the omelets that we shared together at your house in Park City. It means a lot to me. So you're an unforgettable dude. And this is the first of many conversations I'm sure that I'm going to have with Dr. Z on the show. He'll probably be my first recurring guest on the podcast. So be sure to tune in every Sunday for these Sunday conversations with people. I'm not going to tell you who it is for next Sunday. You'll have to check back throughout the week, and I'll make an announcement on Wednesday or Thursday about the next guest next Sunday.